chapter 13. A prophecy against Babylon is my subheading here. Sometimes you have that in your Bible, sometimes you don't. But we're going to read all of chapter 13, so deep breath. An oracle concerning Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw. Raise a banner on a bare hilltop. Shout to them, beckon to them to enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my holy ones. I have summoned my warriors to carry out my wrath, those who rejoice in my triumph. Listen, a noise on the mountains, that like that of a great multitude. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, like nations massing together. Their Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war. They come from faraway lands, from the ends of the heavens. The Lord and the weapons of His wrath to destroy the whole country. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every man's heart will melt. Terror will seize them and pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of the heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. I will make man scarcer than pure gold, more rare than gold from Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble and the earth will shake from this place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of His burning anger. Like a hunted gazelle, like sheep without a shepherd, each will return to his own people. Each will flee to his native land. Whoever is captured will be thrust through. All who are caught will fall by the sword. Their infants will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be looted, their wives ravished. See, I will stir up against them the Medes, who do not care for silver and have no delight for gold. Their bows will strike down the young men. They will have no mercy on infants, nor will they look with compassion on children. Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, the glory of the Babylonians, pride will be overthrown by God, like Sodom and Gomorrah. She will never be inhabited or lived in through all generations. No Arab will pitch his tent there. No shepherd will rest his flocks there. But desert creatures will lie there. Jackals will fill her houses. There the owls will dwell, and there wild goats will leap about. Hyenas will howl in her strongholds, jackals in her luxurious palaces. Her time is at hand, and her days will not be prolonged. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come to You, and we seek Your wisdom, Your discernment, Your Holy Spirit to give us understanding of Your Word, Lord. Father, I pray for Your anointing to be on me as I preach. Might I speak Your Word in truth and in power. Might You, Lord, speak through me, that we might see how this Word here today speaks to us. Lord, how You are speaking to us through the generations. And how this warning, Lord, how this warning should be heard. Father, I pray for Your presence here right now. We pray that You would be lifted up and glorified. Your people brought closer to You and blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of a long set of prophecy. Why didn't I break it up into a couple pieces? Because it's one prophecy. It really needs to be done as a whole. We need to look at this. We need to look at prophecy. We need to pay attention when God is talking to us. One of the ways that God has been talking to me this week is sometimes you get a strange word, one that we're not really sure about, and just keeps kind of coming back. One that's been on my heart this week, and Peggy's going to laugh, she's kind of dealt with this or talked about it from time to time when she was worship leader, was Ebenezer. We sang that today. It's just God, once again, just kind of slapped me upside the head. I'm trying to pay close attention when he does this because I mean, he's just trying to get my attention. Ebenezer. Peggy, for the benefit of the class, what's an Ebenezer? Memorial to God. Ebenezer literally means rock of strength. Ebenezer was a place, and they raised a memorial afterwards. And there, to remember that God was with them and gave them strength at that time. So then they took to calling memorials Ebenezers. And we all walk around going, you know, because we sang that song today, raised an Ebenezer. And you know, Peggy had an issue with that when she was worshiping. She said, how many know what an Ebenezer is? And we're singing this song. And it's like, so we had to bring it out and talk about it, but we got to bring that out every now and again. Because why? How many of you use Ebenezer in your everyday correspondence and language? Yeah, me either. But you know what this week I was doing? You know, that Ebenezer thing had come up to me. I'll tell you why in a little bit. But then I was reading some stuff this week. Actually, some letters that A.B. Simpson, who was the founder of the Alliance, had written while he took a trip to Europe when he was still a young pastor in his first pastorate. And he took a trip to Europe and was there for like 3 months. This is back in the day of steamships, of course. And he's writing letters to his wife. And in one of these letters, he's referring to being an Ebenezer. And I'm like, they actually use that stuff in everyday correspondence? You know, I'm like, whoa, kind of slapped me in the face. And then tell you, we had the song, you know, raise my Ebenezer. And what's bringing that up? Well, in verse 2, we have raise a banner on a bare hilltop. Now, remember a couple months ago, back when we did chapter 11, because we had the break with Christmas and then January for stewardship, back in November, when we did chapter 11, we talked about he will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. How the banner, what a banner was, it was something that was used on a battlefield for giving direction and gathering the troops. They would raise the banner so that everybody knew where they were supposed to be, so they wouldn't get spread out, that they knew where the leader was. Where those who were in charge were. Tells us here, an oracle concerning Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw. Raise a banner on a bare hilltop. Shout to them. Beckon to them to enter the gate of the nobles. The gate of the nobles, that's one of the gates into the temple. Okay. Now, it means we are supposed to be raising a banner. Direction, a memorial, something that would guide and encourage people. An Ebenezer, if you would, in one hand, a banner on another. But we are supposed to be that encouragement, that sign that rallies people. Because that's what a memorial does. It's supposed to encourage and rally people. That's what a banner is supposed to do. And we're supposed to be raising a banner on a bare hilltop. What's the purpose of having it on a bare hilltop? It's easier to see. that spot that was buried. Now we got this big memorial there. We got this big banner there. And the banner says, this way. We're supposed to gather here. But who's he talking to in this prophecy? Well, some of the instructions are to the people of Israel and to the children of the promise and to the people of all the nations that he's gathering, i.e. us. It's a prophecy against Babylon. Now, has God ever spoken prophecies against other nations through his prophets? There was one that really struck me as I was looking at this. Anybody here not know or remember the story of Jonah? Jonah, prophet of God, who was told, go to Nineveh, preach the word there, tell them that my judgment is coming. And Jonah's response was, I don't want to go, because they might just listen. And then they won't be judged. And I don't want them to have God's mercy. I want them to feel God's wrath. Okay, that's what Jonah wanted. You know when Jonah, the book of Jonah, was written? Approximately 760 B.C. Now remember, the bigger the number, the farther back it was when we're talking B.C. numbers. So the smaller the number, the closer it is to us. You know when the Isaiah dates occur? When the book of Isaiah is happening? Roughly during 739 and 681 B.C. So 760, Jonah was written, approximately. And then roughly 20 years later, we have the start of the time that's covered in the book of Isaiah. Now, we're already well into Isaiah. We're probably another 20 years in, possibly, at this point. So we're 30 to 40 years, at least, after the book of Jonah was written. You think this is something that the people of Israel would have heard of? That a prophet of God went and prophesied, and one of their enemies listened, and God turned his wrath. It would have been something that people would have heard about. It was something that was new. Now, that kind of, if you would, gave me a whole new twist on the way I was looking at this prophecy against Babylon and the other prophecies that we have against the nations that we have in Isaiah. Why did God send Jonah to Nineveh? Because even though they were a terrible people, they were still his creation. And he even loved the cattle. Okay? He cared for them. He didn't want to bring his wrath against Nineveh. What we see here is God clearly proclaiming to the people of Babylon, I don't want to bring destruction against you, but I want you to know that destruction is coming like none you have ever even considered. Because Babylon at this time is the power. The destruction that's being talked about is like if we talked about sacking New York City and Washington, D.C. all in one. It's not just the economic, but also the political center. Okay, this is the powerhouse. We, America, the most powerful nation on this planet, are going to have our most important center destroyed, wiped away. It's not going to be a place for a Bedouin to find a place to stay. Now, that's kind of interesting too for me because, you know, I just, benefit of having just been to Israel, I actually saw Bedouin camping in different places. There are Bedouin encampments and they're shepherds and they just have their sheep out there. And you know where they camp? Places where there's just the tiniest bit of blessing. Okay, there's a little shelter here. We can, you know, kind of be in the lee of the wind and we won't get that. There's maybe a trickle of a spring nearby. There's maybe some sort of an old cave that can be used as shelter or some old building that we can kind of put a tent off part of it. Anything. You would say, there's no place here. But these Arabs, these Bedouin, these shepherds out in the wilderness, they find the least bit of possibility of, oh, there's something good here, and they camp there. And what we're being told here is that the devastation that's going to happen to Babylon is so bad, so thorough, you're not even going to find Arabs or shepherds that are going to think it's worth staying there. And where those guys normally live is what you and I would consider desolation. And it's going to be so bad that it's going to be not worth it for them to stay there. Okay? That's pretty bad. God wants the people of Babylon to hear. Because first off, He is indeed a loving God. That's why He said Jonah to Nineveh. That's why He gives Isaiah the prophecy. You don't think Babylon doesn't have spies in this city that know what's being said? It's the biggest political power. Everybody's sending reports. Do you know what so-and-so said? That's exactly what they did. Babylon had one of the best spy systems out there. They had information gatherers. Everybody wanted to get paid. They paid money, good money for that. You also got political favor for finding somebody who was plotting against the king. You know, this kind of reward system we still use today. Tip, turn in poachers. You know, there's a bank heist. Well, there's a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of. And all of a sudden, guess what? Guy's cousin says, hey, guess what? You may be family, but 20,000 is 20,000. Besides that, you know, you were mean to me last week. Right? So they turn each other in. This was the type of regime that Babylon had. They were powerful. They were ruthless. But they did reward those who helped them. So they knew what was going on. Isaiah wasn't just speaking to thin air. People heard it. It was reported. God's word isn't spoken into a void, into the silence and gone like a whisper. The whisper becomes stronger and grows until it's an overwhelming flood. And God's will overrides all of creation. Listen, a noise on the mountains like that of a great multitude. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, the nations massing together. The Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war. They come from faraway lands, from the ends of the heavens. The Lord and the weapons of His wrath to destroy the whole country. And then He goes into what that destruction looks like. The worst thing that they could possibly have. He's pushing every button they have. It's like telling a Norwegian or Finn or something that they're never going to have lutefisk ever again. Okay? It's like taking pepper away from the mung. Tell them, life is terrible. There's not even going to be rice. Okay, what are their buttons? The destruction. The personal degradation. Okay, because of this, all their hands will go limp. That means man's heart will melt with terror and seize him in anguish. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other. Their faces aflame. Their shame. These people are a people of pride. And they're going to be shown to be weak and fearful. And they're going to see each other like that. That shame is... That hits that culture. And then family. Family is another hot topic with that culture. And they're told then how their family is going to be utterly and totally destroyed. They're worst things that they could envision. This is what's going to happen to you. Is God saying this because He's bloodthirsty? Is God saying this because He's mean and angry? Angry, yes. Mean, no. Sometimes you need to be very severe in your action in order to save the rest, if you would. If a person gets an infection and it's in the hand, in the finger, in the foot, something like that, if you clean it right away, it might get healed. If you clean it and it doesn't get better but continues to get worse, then you can maybe try an antibiotic. But if you don't clean it, if you don't give it any antibiotic and just let the infection get worse and worse, eventually what happens is the body, the infection begins to actually eat the body. We have what's called gangrene. And gangrene will poison and kill your internal organs. It gets into the bloodstream. And it goes there and you die. A painful death. So you know how they prevent gangrene? And how they did this on most battlefields? Up until, it still happens today. They remove the part of the body that is infected. They cut off the limb. They cut it off. How to remove infection from the world of sin? If you bring it the healing antibiotic of the gospel, but it's still rejected. In order to save the rest of the body, that part which rejects the healing must be removed. You might want to keep it, but you have a choice. You can either keep the part that's going to kill you, or you can remove it and live. So keep it and die, remove it and live. God chooses for His people to live. And sometimes that requires Him to bring His justice and His terrible, swift, and sharp sword to remove that infected part. This is what's being prophesied here. Is God angry with them? Yes, absolutely. Is it his desire that they be destroyed? No. He loves them. But God is loving and God is righteous. And he must remove them, not for his sake so much even, as for our sake. But neither will he abide or allow the rebellion. He can't. You cannot allow rebellion and keep a kingdom. Isaiah was given this prophecy also to encourage the people of Israel. Who is the group that they most feared? Babylon. Why? Because they're the biggest, baddest people on, as far as they knew, on the planet. And Isaiah came to them and said, guess what? Judgment is coming. It's going to happen to each and every one. And all those who don't repent, those who don't gather to the banner, those who refuse to bend their neck to God, those who continue in sin, those sinners will face judgment and God's wrath. They will not be saved. And that was an encouragement to the people of Israel, knowing that judgment would come and that those people would be held accountable if they would not turn to God. There's always that if. All who would turn to God will receive God's mercy and grace. But it still requires that repentance, turning from sin and turning to God. So it was written to warn the Babylonians, to encourage them to turn from their ways. And it was written to the people of Israel, to Judah, to let them know that their persecution would not continue forever, that it was going to end, and sooner than they may have thought. God is love, but he is also righteous. And he will bring judgment upon those who will not repent. Encouragement for us today is to know that those who persecute us, those who come against us, we need to know that they will indeed face judgment. We also need to recognize that we need to make sure that we are in that position of rallying to the banner. That we are in that position of having submitted ourselves to the Lordship of Christ. That Ebenezer. The one about whom we are to, that rock of our salvation. This morning, we need to remember that God does indeed love us. But we also need to remember that God is righteous. And he will hold those accountable who will not turn to him. So it is our task to tell the world this, to tell those who are lost, so that some might be saved. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning. We give You thanks. We thank You, Lord, that You want us, each one, to turn to You. But Lord, You have given us that free will, so You will not compel us. But You do warn us. You do tell us again and again that there are consequences to our actions, and that we will be held accountable. And You also tell us, Lord, that You will bless those who turn to You. Father, might we be faithful in turning to You. Might we be faithful in raising up that banner. Lord, in being an Ebenezer, a memorial to You and Your love and Your strength and Your hope of restoration for all who've fallen away. But also a warning that You will not wait forever and Your judgment is coming. Lord, help us to be sharers of this good news, that Your love is there for all who will receive it, and that those who turn against You, those who continue in sin, will be held accountable for that. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.